Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee.
Thanks, first of all, for having me on the air. I've always been a fan of your work, Kate, so great to meet you over the air and be on the air with you here this morning.
Are you a fan of my work?
With Kate, Vontae, and Shasky.
Shout out to our guy, Bubba, a big-time Lions fan, a big-time Michigan Wolverine fan. Niners, Lions, Ford Field. Dan Campbell's going to be biting off kneecaps. Right now I'm getting shades of 1994 with Steve Young rolling on the turf when the Niners were down 14-0 to Detroit. And my guy, bar none, William Floyd, came out there, scored two touchdowns, and it turned around the season for the 49ers as they went on to win their fifth and last Super Bowl. This is where the Super Bowl journey starts in 2021. In Detroit, Dan Campbell biting off kneecaps. This is going to be a trap game. It's going to be tough and sold out.
You're going to bite a kneecap off?
I'm telling you, I got to hear from Niner fans. 888-957-9570. It's never too early to get fired up for 49ers football. What is it game you're circling?
Obviously.
What is the record? I got to hear from you right now because I'm too damn fired up on an off day. Look, we got Warriors. Kate, we got Warriors this weekend. We got Giants and A's. It is big time things happening in the Bay Area, and we got the schedule release.
And Roasters, Bonte literally did not stop talking all break long. The giddiness carried over for the entire time we were like, this is not fake Bonte. This is, he is so giddy. I never knew that somebody could get so excited about names and logos on a piece of paper. You guys are cracking me up.
But no,
888-957-9570. I know. 957-9570. Keep them going. And then I think we need to hear the whole Dan Campbell sound because that is getting me fired up.
Yes.
The two coaches who were facing in week one and two with the Lions and the Eagles, just radio gold in their opening press conferences when they were welcomed in as head coaches, Joe Shasky. So I want to get to those as well.
Kate, Bonte and I are so sick, and I know there's so many fans out there that feel just like us. We already knew who was on the schedule. The only thing we found out yesterday was what sequence and what dates those games were going to be played in. That's the only thing we found out yesterday.
It's amazing. Oh, my gosh. It's week five down in Arizona, and it's week 18 at SoFi Stadium. Book your tickets right now, Bonte Hill. Oh, my gosh. You guys are killing me.
Full disclosure, this is how sick I am. In high school, right? The AAA had a different type of algorithm on when teams would play in the schedule. So my junior year, I remember we're on our way to Galileo to see – or no, we're on our way to Galileo, and we're going to watch a varsity play. We're on JVs at the time. This is so in my sophomore year. And I'm sitting there on the back of the bus. It's 38 Gary. We're all robbing deep to Galileo High School. And I'm like, guys, man, next year's schedule, we're going to play Galileo week five or week seven, and we're going to play McAteer week 11. And guys are like, you already figured out the damn schedule? My buddies are like, dude, this guy's sick in the head. There's something about schedules and knowing when you're going to play a team and you're getting so fired up for that week one game and it takes you 6 months. You're doing your jumping jacks. You're doing your bear crawls. You're running your bleachers. I can imagine right now Trey Lance down in SoCal throwing dimes at Brandon Ayuk. I can imagine Trent Williams out there in East Texas or no, West Texas, wherever the hell he's from down there in Texas, hitting the sled right now, hitting those extra weights in. I'm getting ready for the Detroit Lions in the middle of nowhere in Detroit, Michigan. Michigan, and Dan Campbell and company are going to be fired up. It's going to be sold out at Ford Field in the Midwest. And they got some little sick touchdown dance song. Hey, Langford, I'm producing on the fly here, but in the Midwest, the Chicago Bears, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions, they all had these like touchdown dances or touchdown songs. And so I went to a Lions Rams game randomly when Sean Hill was playing quarterback for the Lions. But you know what? The Lions lit it up that day. Javid Best, shout out Cal Berkeley, shout out Salesian High School, went crazy in that football game. And it's Detroit Lions football touchdown dance song just kept playing over and over and over. So I don't want to hear that in week one, but it's going to be a trap game, so we may hear it a couple times.
Well, let's hear the Dan Campbell sound right now, and then I'm going to go after that. We're going to get into this primetime schedule because I got to hear, now that you got me all fired up for Detroit, I want to hear this sound. let's go back. If you want to peel back Detroit, you're asking, is there really any history between Detroit and San Francisco?
Give it to us.
They played in the AAFC together, okay, which was the original All-American Football Conference, which is why the 49ers are in there. It was Detroit, okay, the old Dick, the Night Train Lane. Night Train Lane, one of the great defensive backs who's ever played, who was known for basically taking your head off with an arm swivel. Them and the Rams were the two powerhouses from the AAFC. Because of the Rams' proximity in L.A., the 49ers were a geographical rival they wanted to keep, and when they absorbed them into the NFL, the Niners were only included, not because they were popular, not because they were good, because they were the closest in geography to the L.A. Rams, who were huge, and who was on those Rams teams, Norm Van Brocklin, JT Snow's dad, etc., and they were this high-flying bomb. Think of the Rams in the early 2000s in terms of like the greatest show on turf. That's what they were back then. So the Lions and the 49ers share a long history, but there's no real moments.
Well, maybe the moment could be this year, Bonte. What do you got, Bonte? What you got, Bonte Hill?
So the 94 game where Steve Young's laying on the turf like he's hurt. Niners are scuffling, and they win that game down 14-0. I got Mike Kofler missing field goals on Monday Night Football against Mike the Lions. Kofler. It's still stuck in my dome, down at Silverdome,
number
losing 27-24. Mike Kofler, Mike Choker. We called him Mike Choker out here. Couldn't make a field goal to save his life. Losing on Monday Night Football. And then the return of Joe Montana at Candlestick Park against the Lions, where he led it up, and it all started to, should Joe start over Steve Young while Steve Young's on an MVP like tear, winning the MVP in the NFL that season? And they shut down Barry Sanders so many times at Candlestick Park. The Berkeley fires, remember the Berkeley fires in the early 90s happened on a Sunday, and that fog resonated all over Candlestick Park while the Niners played the Lions. So a little weird history.
Don't forget Jim Schwartz.
A little bit of a history.
The Niners go in, two undefeated teams early on in the season, first year of Jim Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh and the Niners walk away with a great victory. Harbaugh rips his shirt out of his pants, out of the khakis, comes over and gives him the old back slap. And then Jim Schwartz and him start going in their opposite directions, and you could see the hamster wheel start to turn in Jim Schwartz's head. And he's like, wait a minute. And then he comes running after Jim Harbaugh. I believe Bob Lang got in between
Bob
them.
Bob Lang, whoa. And that's when Jim Harbaugh looked at Alex Smith in the postgame locker room and said, clutch, because he hit Delaney Walker on a quick slant on the fourth down. Clutch.
Well, from what we heard from Dan Campbell in his introductory presser, I mean, he could be chasing Kyle Shanahan down after Jimmy and company absolutely do work back in Detroit on Sunday, September 12th this year. Because remember, y'all, this was Dan Campbell saying hi to the world.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language, all right? Here's what I do know, is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right? And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up, all right? It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
Okay, just when I hear that, it's the opposite of Kyle Shanahan, number one. But number two, I go back to what I felt as a 49er fan when I was so down and out, and Mike Singletary started giving me all the same cliche, I want winner stuff, and we're going to win with faith and all this. And I was so depressed and sad with my Niners, I bought in, and I thought it was the way to go. And I really believed in the rah-rah coach speak. And then we got on the field, and the guy couldn't diagram a play to save his life.
I want winners.
It's just, I get so many Singletary vibes from Man Campbell. I can't wait for Jared Goff and the Lions week one. Bonte saying 7.5 is a trap. Let's go.
We're going to kick you in the teeth.
But here we go, Kate. Here we go, Shasky. I'm marking on my schedule here, W. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be some rough moments. It's going to be some bad penalties. It's going to be some turnovers. It's going to be question marks about Jimmy Garoppolo. But got a big old W against the Lions. They may not cover the spread that day. They may not cover it, but they are getting the win.
I don't even know who the quarterback is.
Exactly. I got them 1-0. 1-0 49ers.
Okay, let's get into the primetime games, Joe. We have teased that long enough. We'll break down the entire schedule, and then we'll do what Bonte just did. We'll do a little bit on this team, and do we think they're going to win and lose, and then we'll find out how we think the 49ers are going to do overall. But the primetime games,
In the words of Chris Berman, primetime. You got five of them this year. You lead the league with Baltimore and a couple other teams, Chiefs being one of them. Five, which is the maximum, I guess, as what the NFL is putting out. Five primetime games. That just goes to show you how big the market is for the Niners, but how good they are also, right? Like, you know, they're not putting the Houston Texans in primetime outside of the one Thursday night game that they're obligated to do. So this is cool. Week three, obviously the opener at Levi's. You get the Green Bay Packers. Early game, it's going to be hot in Santa Clara. We know that the sun is a legitimate issue. People want to discredit it. Go sit in the Jesus seats, and you'll see the sun is right in your face. You literally need a bucket hat and massive amounts of sunscreen. So that game, week three, fourth year in a row against Green Bay, a rematch of the 2019 NFC Championship game, and the rumors circulating with what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, the flirtation with the 49ers back and forth. That one's juicy. Week seven, Colts, which Bonte has really laid the groundwork on that being a Super Bowl type of a atmosphere. You're looking at Sunday Night Football again at home for the 49ers. So early schedule, night game, the home games, you're going to see that. That's a trend for the 49ers. That's part of what they've negotiated. And then it starts to get real interesting. Rams on Monday night, week 10.
Can I get the Monday night beat, please? Monday night theme.
Give it to me right now.
With that one. That Rams. So, you know where I'm going here, Shasky. When I think Rams, Niners, Monday night, I think John Taylor. 290-yard plus touchdowns on quick sleds down in Anaheim where the Angels play right now. And it was a tricky game. Rams going for the West title. Niners had just lost to the New York Giants. They're trying to find themselves. They're trying to find their souls. They're down 17-10 in the downfield blocking by Jerry Rice on these plays. Mike Wilson had a great touchdown catch in this football game. And it was the first time my grandma let a young Bonte Hill, the late, great Lorene William Tyndall, rest in peace, grandma. She said, son, you can stay up for this game. The Niners are playing. And I remember stomping, kicking, mad at this game. And a young Bonte Hill at 7 years old watching John Taylor run for these touchdowns, crying at night, said, go Niners, go. John Taylor made me a fan for life. And my grandma said, okay, it's time to go to bed. And I remember being up at 5 in the morning next day. Couldn't wait to go to elementary school. This is what I think of Niners Rams. Monday Night Football, Levi's Stadium. It's going to be epic.
He had an awful lot of information, don't you think?
Here's some Nuggy Nugs for this matchup. Keep the music going. You got McVay versus Shanahan. McVay is on a losing streak against Shanahan. You got the SFLA, NorCal, SoCal rivalry. You got Stafford's first appearance in a Rams uniform at Levi's Stadium. And you got the San Francisco 49ers with a tie right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. 49 wins on Monday Night Football. Ooh. Looking for 50. Let's go. Give me this. Inject it in my veins. Look it. I know everybody likes Sunday Night Football. I don't care what anyone says. I'm not 25 years old. Monday Night Football matters to me. It is different. You take the day off of work. You go down to Levi Stadium at noon. You are taking that nooner. You're hanging out. You're partying. You know you got work the next day. It don't matter. You got your game face on. It is a standalone game. The entire NFL is watching. Screw Sunday Night Football. You're waiting around. You're watching the other games. You're getting antsy. No, no, no. Give me the Monday Night Football. I want the whole thing injected into my veins. And hit me with the music!
Good evening, football fans, and welcome to Southern California as we get set for an NFC West showdown between the 8-1 San Francisco 49ers and the 8-1 Matthew Stafford-led Los Angeles Rams.
Kickoff Donald
on the other side.
So then let's go down the schedule again. These are the we got two more primetime games. Week 13 at Seattle, Sunday Night Football, the scene of the crime. Week 17 a couple of years ago to win the division, get the bye. This is a game right here. Just circle it right now. This has got NFC West implications and NFC bye game implications written all over it. The loser of this game is on the way, on the outside looking in when it comes to getting that bye, because there's only one bye now, and that other team is going to be on the road, like, period. They might get one home game, but they're probably going to be on the road. Sunday Night Football, Seattle, Week 13, Russ and Pete Carroll, DK Metcalf running in a track outfit. I mean, come on, man.
Dude, where the hell are the Niner fans at right now? I'm a little disappointed. I heard from a few of you already. 888-957-9570. The Niner fans that I know, after the draft, you're all excited about the draft. You got your quarterback in Trey Lance. You got the mobile. You got the toy. You got the Ferrari, as Jerry Rice said. Where are you at? 888-957-9570. What is a game you're looking forward to this season? Is it Seattle Week 13 Sunday Night Football? You heard Kate Scott. She wants Kingsbury. She wants the Cardinals. She wants Kyler Murray. She wants Hopkins. You heard from Joe Shasky. He wants the Seahawks. I'm looking at Week 7 in the Super Bowl preview that could be with the Colts and DeForest Buckner, the return of number 99. Sunday Night Football, where you at, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. We'll get your records in the 9 o'clock hour. But I got to hear from you. What is the game you're looking forward to? Go ahead and proceed, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, and then Week 16, the final of the primetime games for the 49ers at Tennessee. Now, this one... Oh, man, this one's a tough one because this is going to be a hard-hitting team that hangs their hat on physicality. Derrick Henry's one of the best running backs this game's ever seen. I think this one is going to be very difficult, but this is why I actually like the Week 16. It's so late in the season. If this team is a playoff team, it gives them a couple of extra days before the playoffs. Yes, it stinks on the front end, but on the back end, you could reap the benefits of this, and we saw this with the 49ers when it got down. If you get a couple of games cushion in the NFC West, this could be a game that might just be irrelevant. It's not an NFC opponent. It's an AFC opponent. It might not matter. I hope it doesn't. Who knows? We'll see. But that's a huge one. I told you, B, the game I'm circling, though, is Week 18. Because Week 18, to me, I think you're going to have to finally win that game down in LA in SoFi Stadium. First ever time I'm going to be down there. And you're going to have to clinch that win against the Rams to knock them out of the playoffs and to give you that one singular bye that is awarded in each conference.
4-0 against Sean McVay and the Rams the last couple of seasons. A perfect 4-0. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are against the Rams. And it is interesting because, again, you guys are much better Rain Men than me. Isn't it usually the Seahawks that the 49ers are squaring off against towards the very end of the season? It hasn't been the Rams the last couple of years, right?
It varies. Like, they've ended it with the Cardinals. They've ended it with the Rams. They've ended it with the Seahawks. And the NFL has done a great job of ending the season with divisional opponents, Kate. Mm-hmm. So this year it's the Rams down in L.A., SoFi Stadium. The first time Niner fans get to take over that place like they took over the Coliseum a couple years ago.
Let's not forget, the reason the Rams got Jared Goff, the Niners went out and won a Week 17 game when the Rams deactivated Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald on the final game of the season, and Tom Sula went out there and won that fifth game, giving them enough ammunition to have a good draft pick to move up to go get Jared Goff. I will never forget it. I was like, why are you trying to win this game? You are in the same boat as the Rams. You need a top pick. You need a quarterback. They ended up getting DeForest Buckner in that draft, but had they moved up a little higher, they would have had an opportunity to take some of the quarterbacks. So that's a final game that I think about all the time. Rams and Niners, final game of the year, and the Niners had to win a meaningless game, and the Rams did the smart thing and deactivated everyone.
I think he might be actually at Levi's Stadium right now. Colin, in section 226, is it Shane?
Let's go!
Down at Levi's. Shane, what's going on, man? What's the one game you got circled?
Joe, why are you bringing up old stuff, man? Come on.
Seriously?
Don't be bringing up old stuff on a Thursday, Friday eve. I mean, listen, first of all, very excited about the season. I cannot believe that the NFL made such a big deal out of the schedule release. But all of my boys in 226, we were texting about it, 6 o'clock in the morning, laughing, getting excited, circling games. The whole crew was disappointed about the Tennessee game. We were looking forward to going to Nashville in maybe November or late October. But we got Tennessee for Christmas. That's my game that I'm circling. We're going to
nice.
Be a 9-10 hope. We're going to be a 9-10 game, winning team at that time, mm-hmm. and that's going to be basically, hey, it's a go or no go. I agree with you about week 18, but week 16 we're going to be a 9-10, 11 win, and it's like, hey, are we going to make something out of this or what? So that's my week.
Oh, that's going to be a great trip, Shane.
Yep,
Nashville, understandably, you think, oh, I want to go there in the summer and stuff. But I was actually in Nashville in early January. The game with the 49ers and the Titans is in December. So it could be similar weather. A little snow started to fall as I was walking down. And the stadium is right at the end of, I think it's Broadway. I'll look it up. Feel free to yell at me. But there's one huge, long main street in Nashville that has all the honky-tonks that you hear about. At 8 a.m. in the morning, as soon as they open their doors, there's live music. And at the very end of that long main street, kind of like the Embarcadero and Oracle Park in San Francisco, if the Embarcadero was just covered in bars and restaurants and stuff. And then at the very end, just across the water, is the Titan Stadium. So it is a beautiful, fun trip. Again, a really cute airport, easy to get to. So, Shane, have a great time. That'll be a really fun trip.
I've got this as a schedule loss on my schedule, and I'll reveal my overall record, but this is a schedule loss.
That's great, Kate. It's a big freaking L on my
schedule. I thought he was going to be talking about the
snow falling softly as you're listening to some country music.
Kate,
thanks, Vontae.
Kate, you had me going, right? You had me. It's like the girl Get Out. What was it? Get Up or Get Out, the movie where she had the spoon and the white cup, and you had me going there with Nashville to the party scene and going down to Nissan Stadium across that bridge. Look, I wanted to go here, and then you snapped me out of it. As soon as you stopped talking, it was like somebody snapped their fingers, and I woke up, and I said, oh, there's Derrick Henry. Oh, they lost their tight ends. There's Mike Vrabel on the sidelines challenging every damn thing and trying to bend the rules, and I'm thinking, oh, short week after playing Atlanta, which could be a tricky little game at Levi's Stadium. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I got this as a schedule loss for some reason. Things are going to go wrong in Nashville. I don't know why, Caton. We're going to all party. We're going to have
appreciate
fun.
Appreciate the positivity, as always, Bonte.
It's going to be a letdown.
So I love how poorly you listen, because I love you. You know I do. I love you dearly. Kate's waxing poetically about the city of Nashville. I'm contemplating the trip. I was going to tell you about the trip that I was thinking about to Nashville. And you go right into, I got this as a scheduled loss.
That's
an L. Looking at the point spread, I don't really like it. Tannehill, the offensive coordinator, and then you gave us the corporate name of the stadium that no one knows and cares about. I love you. You're a sick individual.
Go to Nashville, the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Okay,
great food. The shrimp and grits in Nashville is amazing. You know what I'm talking about. And then just right across the water, like Vontae said.
I do too.
It's a walking city. It's beautiful.
You know what? All right. So the Warriors will be playing at this time.
Oh, here we go.
There may be a Christmas Day game.
Road trip? Morning roast road trip?
You know what? Matt Nahegan, foot the bill, damn it. Our program director.
We could probably take this week off.
It's a couple weeks after baby Chez's birthday. My girl will probably want to go, but they'll probably stay in the hotel room. I'll figure out how to lock them in a room or something. We may be able to make this happen. I'm just saying.
Even though
they may lose the game. I'm telling you, it may be a disappointing flight back home to the Bay Area. but we may be able to make this trip happen because I do want to get to Nashville, Kate.
So all I kept thinking was, man, I hope this is in an earlier time in the year so that I can fly out there, not just to see the game. I want to go because of the proximity to Sweetens Cove, which is a golf course owned by Peyton Manning that is one of the coolest nine-hole courses in the entire country. There's also a guy by the name of Andy Roddick who has invested in this particular golf course, and it's like off the beaten path, and it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's about 45-minute drive from Nashville. So my sick brain wasn't thinking about wins and losses. I was like, how can I parlay and bring the golf clubs with me, take a little jaunt up to Sweetens Cove?
Okay, an underwhelming American tennis player invested in it. It must be a good place to play. Let's go out to Scott in Livermore. We're talking the game you got circled on the 49ers schedule that was released yesterday. Good morning, Scott. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning, guys. I got my Dunkin' Donuts in my coffee cup headed to work. I cannot wait for week three. Me and my twin brother have had a rival for 36 years. I'm a diehard Niner fan. He is a diehard Green Bay fan. I cannot wait for A.A. Braun to step into Levi so we can crush those Packers. And I only got one thing left to say about the Niners. Let me get two claps in a Ric Flair. Woo! Go Niners! Woo!
I like that.
Love it, Scott. Like great that. Call. Let's go down to E in San Jose. Great call, Scott. E, bring the fire this morning. What's going on?
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to talk about a game. I like revenge games. That's my thing. I think that there's a lot of underlying revenge games going on. But I think one of the biggest ones on the schedule is when Atlanta comes into town. Mm. If Matt Ryan, if he's still there, definitely Julio Jones. Then Kyle Shanahan is. There's no way he doesn't harbor so much bad blood for that organization that never gave him a chance to run that organization when they should have. They are going to absolutely mollywop this team by 50, and I'm calling it right now that this is when Trey Lance gets to take an entire fourth quarter to himself because they're going to be up by 50.
Hey, E, I got something better for you, E. I'm thinking when the Niners play Atlanta, Julio Jones may be in red and gold after a mid-season trade with him out of there. That's what I'm thinking about, E. I'm thinking, how can I get Julio in a Niners uniform?
If he's still in a Falcons uniform, you're going to see a lot of raised eyebrows on the sideline like, what am I still doing in Atlanta when I could have been on the other side of this straight-up massacre?
Yeah, the Niners and the Falcons tons of history. The old NFC West, everybody remembers the battles in the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium with the red helmets and Deion Sanders and Billy Joe Hobert and all the different horrible Chris Chandler. I could think of so many different quarterbacks over the years. Jeff George. But here's the one that I'm going to go to. Let's go to a recent memory. Obviously, there's the Jamal Anderson version of the team that ripped my heart out. But I'm going to go to just a couple of years ago when Richard Sherman took a week off down toward the end of the season. He was hurt. And the 49ers and my entire family went down. It was all the Shasky men. Bonte met us. We had a huge van. There's like 20 of us. We went down there. Niners were in control the whole game. And Julio Jones was unstoppable and scored with no time left on the clock, crossing the goal line. It gets reviewed. Niners lose the game, which makes Week 17 the epic game that it ends up being. Had they won that game, Week 17 would not have mattered. I was furious that they blew that game. What was it, 16-17 or 16-18? It was a horrible game.
Few things in that game and a few things in that week. I remember working with Stein. He said, oh, this is going to be a blowout. I'm like, no, it's not. It's going to be one of those games that's tricky, a letdown game. And the Niners had like a 21-play drive in that game. But late in the game, George Kittle fumbled out of bounds, which would have gave the Niners a first down. Shanahan decides not to go for it. They kick the field goal. I'm screaming, go for it and ice the game. Julio Jones in that game actually got hurt. And he was out for a second. And we're like, oh, Niners dodged a bullet. Julio's hurt. He came back into the game, and he went crazy against Emmanuel Moseley. And that was, it made Week 17 relevant. And I'm thinking, just seal it. Make Week 17 irrelevant in Seattle. But you know what? It worked out better the way it did. Dre Greenlaw with the tackle at the inch line. Sunday Night Football in Seattle to just kills, exercise some demons and went up there. But, yes, Julio, I'm looking at Kate. You call me crazy. I'm trying to think about how do you get number 11 to San Francisco? How do you trade for number 11 and get him out here in San Francisco and get him out of Atlanta?
If there is, let's now that you're here, let's just bring this up. If there is a way to make an argument like, hey, I want to move off Jimmy Garoppolo's money, and because I need to go get Julio, because I can't fit Julio financially under the cap, I'm not even sure. I don't understand the cap enough to understand how it works right now. But my understanding is with Jimmy on the roster, it's really, really hard to bring Julio in under the cap. But if you sold me on, hey, I believe in Trey Lance winning from day one, plus I can get Julio with whatever offset money moving off of Jimmy Garoppolo, I'll buy that. I will buy that. I'm not moving off of Jimmy just to move off of Jimmy. But if it's right to go get someone like Julio, and that's the sequence of moves to make it happen, well, then I'm all in.
Ooh, we are down the rabbit hole. Got to pull my guys a little bit back out this morning. What is the one game that you are so excited about as a 49ers fan?
Me and Julio down at Levi's. Me and Julio down at Levi's. I'm thinking Paul Simon remix coming week 17. Let's do this.
I'll say this. I'll say this. I go this far. I'm already moody, right? I'm out of my body right now. I haven't had any sleep.
Baby Wait for it.
Sleep deprived.
Left or right.
He said he slept all day yesterday.
I did sleep all day. That's a
lie. Yeah, your girl's missed her naps all week, but go on.
She's mad at me right now because I woke up the baby going in there so fired up. But look, Julio Jones is not going to be a Falcon by the end of the year. Somebody's going to get him. It's going to be either Baltimore. Somebody's going to get Julio.
Green Bay
with Aaron Rodgers are trying to make him all Julio Jones and Devontae Adams.
Well, I'm hearing the Jordan love for Julio Jones, but Jordan Love, the money doesn't offset because Green Bay's up against it, but that is a trade that would intrigue Atlanta so that they get a quarterback of the future.
Okay, let's go back to the lines. 888-957-9570 is the number. The game that you as a 49ers fan are most excited about. Let's get to it. Antonio in Oakland. What's the game you got circled, Antonio? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, the game I want, like the one I'm looking forward to, is it got to be Green Bay. I mean, that's our biggest rival right now. You know what I'm saying? Aaron Rodgers, he's the LeBron James of the NFL. You know, big, antagonist, or, you know, big just whiner, and just, he's our biggest rival, just like the Warriors to LeBron, but, you know what I'm saying? And in that game, week three on prime time, that's going to be the battle of the angry quarterbacks, you know, Jimmy G and Aaron Rodgers. Like, oh, you drafted Jordan Love, you drafted Trey Lance, I'm going to show everybody. So, you know, hey, you know, that's a little underrated reason right there, but.
But Antonio, you touched on an interesting thing, and we had the conversation last year, right? Everybody has a different rival right now when it comes to the 49ers, because there's not, at least in my opinion, there's not an obvious one, right? So we talked about it earlier, you guys, or just with Shane a couple of minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Was he the one who said his twin brother's been a huge
Green Bay Packers fan? Yeah. I hate the Packers.
He's been a huge Niners fan.
Hate them.
It just depends when you were born, right? Some people still say the Cowboys. Some say the Packers. Some say the
New York Giants.
Some say the Giants. Oh. Some say the Rams. Some say the
Cardinals
if you live in Arizona.
So hate the Rams.
There's just different rivalries.
Depends. Well, there's different levels to this, right? So we've had this conversation long and hard, and I understand a lot of the younger fans, Seattle, because they play two times in the regular season. My opinion, the playoffs, years and generations of playoff battles, that's how you forge a true rivalry where grandpa hates them and the grandkids hate them and everybody in between. And I'm not dismissing Seattle as a rival. They are a rival. But in my term, like the way I'm viewing these things, I've got the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, the Green Bay Packers because of the litany of unbelievable playoff moments and the ability of one of these organizations to stop you cold in your tracks from going after a Lombardi.
You know, LaFleur, Devontae Adams, and it's just something about those yellow helmets I just cannot stand.
And their fans, B.
And they roll deep. They're nice fans, though. They roll deep. We had a chance to sit down with Antonio Freeman, and it was a great interview, Katie.
He was so good.
He was so good. And we were talking about the 90s games, but in the back of my head, I'm like, this guy used to throw the first down sign at us. He used to talk trash to the Niners sideline, and he made plays, winning plays. First play of the game, Halloween, back in the late 90s, he scored a touchdown against the Niners at Lambeau Field. It's something about the Packers that I just cannot stand. And that week three game I'm looking at, it's so early, though, but it's prime time, and it's a home opener. And when I walk out of that stadium week three, when the Niners play the Packers, I won't be satisfied unless it's a blowout. I'm dead serious. Can't be a one-possession game. Can't be a 10-point game. Can't be a 13-point game. That game needs to be a total beatdown to let the Packers know when the Niners are healthy, you can't touch this team. You got to make a statement week three, national TV. That's a statement game coming off of that road trip on the East Coast.
Let's go.
Beat down the Green Bay Packers. That's all I'm looking at. I'm saying, just blow these dudes out. Anything less, Jasky, and I'm not satisfied, all right? I will go on the post-game show railing on this team if they don't blow that team out.
So we're asking fans right now, 888-957-9570. I want your record prediction, just looking at the schedule. And what's the game you're circling? What's the game you want to go to? Am I sick for this? Because I picked week 18, and believe me, that to me is the game. Like, I'm super pumped. Why am I most pumped about the first preseason game? Why am I so excited to see Trey Lance in a meaningless game? I know it doesn't mean anything. Why am I so worried about this preseason game? I feel like this is going to be the most scrutinized, most built-up preseason game in the history of preseason games for the Niners. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even think of anything that would come close to this. Like I know the schedule, it's standalone. Just for a second, suspend the schedule from the mind. Just think about the preseason game one. Bonte, it's going to be nuts.
Well, it's going to be nuts because we get to see Trey Lance. We get to see Jalen Hurd and talk about Jalen Hurd being a factor this year and who knows with the injuries. We're not going to see Mahomes. We're not. But if Trey Lance goes out there and lights it up, that show on Monday, Kate, you better buckle up. Because these lines are going to be fired up and they're going to say, start Trey Lance. And I'm just telling you, the overreactions, Twitter, everything, it's going to be me. I'm just warning. Kate, I know I'm going to get ahead of myself watching Kate. Trey Lance. I'm going to deactivate Twitter just after
you're such
that
a
game.
Liar.
I have to.
Yeah,
I have not to lie. I have to, though. Because it's going to be ridiculous. I'm telling you.
Ridiculous. We went to the Cowboy game, right? It was a preseason game, Cowboys. Everybody showed up at my house. We're all hanging out in the kitchen. Oh, it's just a preseason game. You know, it doesn't mean anything. By the fourth quarter, I am texting. Bonte's in the press box. I'm out in the stands. I'm texting like, this Trey Greenlaw. This is his first NFL game. And I'm like, this fifth linebacker on the squad, I think he's a player. Bonte's screaming at me about Jalen Hurd and how they need a big body wide receiver. And he's the man. Those are like rotational pieces, okay? We're talking about the quarterback future of the franchise that they traded three picks for. You don't think we are going to lose our minds on every single... I can't wait. I can't wait for football.
Kate, Super Bowl's in SoFi Stadium in L.A. this season, right? It's in L.A. this year, right?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Let me confirm.
So the way I'm looking at it is...
Is that a win or a loss for the Niners?
No. This is how I'm looking at SoFi Stadium. Week two gets the Chargers.
Confirm, SoFi.
Week two gets the Chargers. You get your itinerary right on how to get to SoFi Stadium, the hotel you want to stay at. Week 18, you're thinking about, okay, in about a month after week 18, you're going to be playing in that game. You're going to be playing at the same stadium. So I'm looking for the 49ers to play SoFi Stadium three times this season. Once it gets the Chargers in the preseason, once it gets the Rams week 18, and then for the Super Bowl. I'm dead serious. It's Operation SoFi Stadium.
Are you coming?
Operation playing SoFi 3. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I got a baby now. I don't know how I can sneak out of here.
Everybody's loving it. You guys are firing up 49ers fans left and right. Henry on Twitter is cracking me up. After Kate paints a beautiful picture of going to Nashville in December, and he tweets the old Randy Jackson American Idol meme, yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog. Anybody who knows back in the day knows. But our text line is fired up. I hate the Cowboys. Oh, I wish we were playing them. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's take a couple more calls before we step away. And look who it is. He's dancing this morning. He's probably going to be dancing a lot this year. It's Uncle Charlie up in Sacktown. Uncle Charlie, first of all, thank you for the shirts. We received them. We haven't gotten them personally yet because we haven't been in studio. But they look fantastic. The Lance Make You Dance shirt. What game are you looking forward to, Uncle Charlie?
You're welcome. Hey, I predict 14-3, but I'm certain Monday Night Football, game 10, the Circle of the Dragons, 49ers. I'm sitting at the recliner chair in the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy G and Lance. And Jimmy G throws a bubble screen to Lance, make him dance, and I'm wearing the Lance, make him dance t-shirt. He runs in, fumbles, and rumbles, and stumbles, and touchdown, Lance, make you dance! And he comes over and signs the t-shirt that I have on Monday night for everybody to see. I would love to go to that game on Monday night. Can you make it happen? Happy Keith, Fonte, and Joe.
Not right now, Uncle Charlie, but we appreciate you shooting your shot, man.
Hey, Kate, those seats, I'm going to be real, those leather seats, they look
shoot
awesome. You have a horrible view of the
exactly.
field.
Exactly. You never want to
view of the field.
You never want to be field
view.
Level. You want to be field level for basketball or court level.
Yeah.
But for soccer, for football, for hockey, you want to be raised up a little bit so you can
I'm
see
so
the depth of the field. I mean, it is cool. Don't get me wrong. It is really cool to be that close to the hitting and the contact.
For sure.
And to see, like, when you are on field-ish level, you can truly see how fast guys right. are moving. But as far as the All-22, Bonte
Kate.
And Joe, as you know,
right.
we like to break it down from a little higher.
Get up top.
Kate,
get up top.
Mm-hmm. This guy, he's on the field one day. This is a couple years back. And I had a media credential, but not field access. And he's like, hey, come on down. He's big-timing me. You know, I'm calling him. He's not picking up the phone. I'm talking about Bonte here. All right?
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, he's standing there next to Eric Armstead. And I'm like, damn. So I come walking on over. Now, Eric Armstead is the largest human being you will ever see in your life. Not height-wise, just size.
Yeah.
B, is he not? He's a giant. I stood next to him. I felt like an ant next to an elephant. I could not believe how large of a human being he was. And then here comes Mike McGlinchey, who is no small guy at all. And he is dwarfed by Eric Armstead. These people are superhuman size, right? Let me be superhuman size. And when you get to the field and you're on the level that they're on and you watch how quick they move and how fast, I'm just saying, these people are not humans. They're not normal.
No.
And then you see a guy like Matt Breida, who's about my height, go out there and he's getting clobbered by guys. It's like, you know what? This sport's just not for me to play. These guys are wired a little different.
Some stadiums let you go down on the field for the last 5 minutes of the game, and the Raiders will let you do that. And I was down on the field for a Raiders-Jets game, and the speed of the game, I saw Geno Smith take a hit. And I could hear it from the sidelines, and I was like, you know what? I had dreams of playing NFL quarterback. I still daydream sometimes about being an MVP of the Super Bowl as a quarterback. I'm 38
Aww,
years old.
That's
how
cute.
Sick I am. The hits, the violence that goes on during the NFL game, these men are sick for playing this game. They are human gladiators. It is unbelievable. And shout out to the mailman. I see it down there in Dallas representing mailman Derek. He comes by the Hilton once a year, comes out for a road trip with his lovely lady. We will be at the Hilton Hotel this year. You better believe it, Derek. Get your ass out there at the Hilton Hotel.
Steven.
I want to see you, mailman.
Steven, be ready for this one, all right? Bonte Hill, you've just won the Super Bowl. I mean, just incredible. You're the MVP of the league. You're the MVP of the Super Bowl. You know, we want to know where you're going to go. You know, what are you thinking about? You know, that's a good question. I think I'm going to go to Taco Bell. I think that I'm on my way right now after winning MVP. I'm going to go to Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. So damn good.
Let's talk schedule and Taco Bell continued on the other side. It's Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee.
They're not saying nice words. Let's just be friends.
With Kate, Bonte, and Shasky.
Can't we just be friends, guys? We're all friends this morning because the schedule's out and no games have been played. This is one of those extremely hopeful days of the season, right? It's just filled with excitement and hope and anticipation. You don't have to do anything today. You don't have to play. We're going to get into every single game in just a bit in the 9 o'clock hour and figure out what we think the final record will be for the 49ers. But the lines are still lit about the one game
second.
The 49ers fans have circled. So we'll get
Uh-oh.
To that in just
yeah.
a minute.
Just real quick, someone called in, said some Arizona radio station is saying that they're going to sweep the 49ers. That's cute. You guys haven't been to the playoffs in back-to-back years ever in your existence as an organization. I mean, why don't you try, like, you know, I don't know, winning one Super Bowl, maybe winning a division in the last, you know, 10 years?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Like, do something relevant other than fire your head coach and GM constantly and move off of young quarterbacks constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a retirement destination for the entire NFL. They come there because the taxes are cheap and the weather's nice and they can get a great payday from your dysfunctional organization that no one cares about, and then every single team in the NFC West shows up to Arizona and turns it into a home game. Cute little story, Arizona. I dare you to call these station and talk big now. I dare you, Arizona, if you're out there. If there are any breathing Cardinal fans out there, I want to hear from you. All two of you, okay? I'd like to hear from you.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Let's go back to the lines. That's okay. We're shooting random shots. I mean, Uncle Charlie calling in and asking if he can get tickets, so I appreciate it. Shoot your shot, Steven.
I love it. Bonte's envisioning Super Bowl MVP trophy awards, and Uncle Charlie's envisioning Trey Lance catching a swing pass from Jimmy Garoppolo, going into the end zone, flipping the ball, and then signing his T-shirt on national television. I mean, some people dream big. I gotta credit them.
Which is more realistic? 888-957-9570. Okay, we're gonna get into the entire schedule in just a little bit and break down each game so that we can figure out what the final record will be for the 49ers in the first 17-game season ever in the NFL. But first, let's go up to Mike in San Rafael. We're still talking about the game that you're really excited about as a 49ers fan. Mike, good morning. What's going on, man? What's your one game?
Good morning. My one game is going to be the Monday night game with the Rams. It's going to be a tough new division rival with Stafford. Mm-hmm. The national audience game. I'm planning to go to the game. I'm a season ticket holder. On top of that, I have some Raider friends. I'm going to catch the Raider-Chiefs game in Vegas and then come back and watch the Monday night game. That's going to be an awesome weekend.
Nice.
I predict the record to be 11-6, and I think they're going to end up being better than the record indicates by the end of the year, but I think it's going to take time to gel with all the injuries from last year.
I agree.
And, you know, they have a habit, even before the injuries, of really dominating the time possession without putting a lot of points on the board. So they don't protect the lead very well, which creates a lot of close games.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to distance themselves from the opponent more. That's why I think they're going to beat some teams that maybe they probably shouldn't beat during the regular season and lose to some teams that they shouldn't have lost to. And that'll result in about 6 losses, I feel. You know, it's a big difference between...
I think it's fair.
What used to be 11-5 at 12-4,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
which will be 11-6 and 12-5. You know, yeah.
Great stuff, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. That sounds like an awesome weekend, Vegas and Santa Clara, and 11-6. Is that playoff worthy? What do you guys think?
I think it will be.
Yeah, I think
it
so too. You're not getting a bye. I think 12, 13 wins. I think there's going to be a lot of jumbling in the NFC. Tampa Bay right now, just on paper, is the clear cut. Class of the NFC, and I don't think that's debatable.
No, there's no doubt about that. Rams, Niners, we're getting a lot of love for that for Monday Night Football Week 10. And Kate, when you're playing the Monday Night theme, and I was envisioning the helmets clashing on ABC. You know, that's a huge game. I'm telling you, Niner fans, if you want this to be a rivalry, because I thought the Niners smacked the Rams up in the 90s, and the rivalry's been kind of up and down. But the height of the rivalry was in 1989 when the Niners were down 24-10 going into the fourth quarter, and John Taylor did what John Taylor does, which is score big touchdowns. This Monday night game is going to be huge. It's in the middle of the season, and it could position the Niners on a nice little run here at Jacksonville. Gets the Vikings at home before you go up to Seattle for Sunday Night Football. So that Monday Night Football game against the LA Rams, it's the first time we get to see Matt Stafford with those horns on his helmet. First time we see Aaron Donald on that defense. Jalen Ramsey humming, talking trash on the sideline. He loves Monday Night Football in those uniforms. They're going to be wearing those optic uniforms with the off-white uniforms or whatnot.
So bad.
So bad. But this is a big game. It's a big game, no doubt about it. Big game.
No. Bonte, I know we keep playing the Monday night music, the Monday night football music. I want the song. I want someone find me this song. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, where he starts doing all the whole jingle. You know, we got Frank and Alan. Damn, we're going to get this thing started. Come on, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want the cringy early 90s, high belt with the big boots, baby, with the cowboy hat. Let's go.
That guy may piss off some people. He's pissed off some people the past few years.
Yeah, the song knocks. Keep it real. The song knocks. I'm not even a country guy.
The song, though.
Yeah, what did we get Chris Stapleton to come and do a remix?
He says some things off the
Chris
field.
Chris Stapleton's good.
You know.
One of the games that we've just glossed over. Oh, that's just getting started. You got to listen to the deep tracks. I love me some Chris Stapleton. Speaking of being on the road, that's usually my get ready music on my phone as I'm putting on my 15 layers of makeup to be on camera for 30 seconds. Anyway, nobody cares. We're going back to the line in just a second. But one game that we understandably haven't mentioned because it's not Rams, it's not Seahawks, it's not Cardinals, but you just kind of glossed over it there, Joe. Week 11 at Urban Meyer. And Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. 11-21, the 21st of November, the week of Thanksgiving, or the week right before Thanksgiving. I mean, they could be humming by then, week 11, right?
Yeah. Well, and so this is why this one's a sneaky game. You see Jacksonville and you go, nah, yawn. It's a Monday night, short week trip to the East Coast. All right, 10 a.m. start. You can't get any shorter than that on an NFL schedule. A West Coast Monday night football game. Yes, it's at home, but then you turn around and you got to go all the way out to Florida. Anybody that's ever taken a flight out to Florida, it's a long flight.
It's a really long flight.
So that's a sneaky, sneaky game. Kay, I thought you were going to go Minnesota the following week with Kirk Cousins, the old fling, coming into town. And now you got the new girl, the new girlfriend who you're going to put a ring on it at some point, and Trey Lance. Oh, and she's an Instagram model. And she comes from family money. And she's got a great job. And she's super smart. I mean, Kirk Cousins looks pretty damn ordinary next to Trey Lance.
Let's go to our boy Louie in the 209.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Robinson. Jacksonville's got some players.
Trent Baalke?
The fighting torn ACLs. He was still doing it in this draft. He drafted like three guys with knee injuries.
I couldn't believe it.
And he's trolling us all.
He needs to be the GM for an L team, so we could be like the Louisville Ligaments or something. I need some alliteration. It's harder, like Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, but that's hard to tie in ACL. Anyway, Louie in the 209. What's the game you got circled, man? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. So my pick is week four. Reason being is we can get by the Lions and Eagles if healthy. Those are kind of tune-up games. But week three is a favorable matchup. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback by then. But week four, week five, we got back-to-back division games.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to show our identity. And hopefully we can correct what we got by week six, which is our bye. And then week seven, we'll have that good little run. But that's just my take on it.
I like it.
No,
Louis,
it's a great take. And so if you're keeping track at home, I've been writing these down. We've got trap games from Bonte. We've got Super Bowl matchups.
Week one.
Gots to have it games. We've got
week
Super
two.
Bowl preview games.
Seven.
We've got
week seven.
What could be division NFC West on the line type of games, body bag games, and now my favorite kind of games, tune-up games. That is a 90s Niners arrogant tune-up game statement. I used to say that all the time. Hey, you want to go to the Falcons game in the early 90s? That's a tune-up game. I don't want to go to that game. Tune-up games, Bonte. I love
so
a tune-up game.
I do love tune-up games. I haven't thought about that one, man. That was good. Got to have a game, body bag game. That's a good one.
We hadn't really talked about week four, so I like Louis bringing that up. Week four against Seattle, 105 on Fox. It's the earliest that the 49ers and the Seahawks have faced off since 2017 when they faced off in week two, 2017. So that is an early showdown between our boys and those Seahawks. What you got, Bonte?
No doubt. So, but since we're on the topic of tune-up games, Kate, I just wrote down in all caps, like Joe Shasky, the Texans before the Rams. After a long week with Titans, the Texans this year, that is the ultimate tune-up game for the L.A. Rams.
No, tune-up game.
I got week 17 tune-up game. Houston Texans before the last game of the regular season against the Rams down in SoFi.
I call that a Kawhi Leonard game. I'm not shooting anyone up in that game. Like, that is a 100% Kawhi Leonard game.
Oh, man. Now the text line's coming in with their plays on Trent Baalke and what the Jacksonville janky joints from the 510, from the 650, the Jacksonville joint injuries. I like it. Keep going. We're not quite there yet, but I like this brainstorming sesh.
If Baalke had a son, his name would be Tommy John. That might be the greatest text of all time.
Randomest poster. Yeah, seriously. Randomest poster I had on my wall as a kid, along with my Arturs Urbe and my Fresno State football poster with Neal and Trent Dilfer on it, and Michael Owen, the Liverpool stud who was going to be the next big star for England soccer.